All right, please be turning your Bibles back to. You want to sing again? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Today we are in verses 3 through 5. And we're going to see the believer's course. There is a course that we are all running. The Lord has laid out in a plan for each and every one of us. And that course spans our entire lifetime and truly begins the moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We begin to run the course that He's planned for us, and it goes until the moment that the rapture takes place or that you die. Either way, the important thing for us to understand is that there's a course to be run, and there's a right and a wrong way to run it. You can lose your way. I'm not talking about your salvation. But you can lose your way from the course that God has planned for your life. In the verses that we're going to be seeing today, we're going to see how God is going to help us make sure that we can finish that course with joy. Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, one of the most famous verses from the book of Acts, he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." It's not just about finishing the course, it's finishing it with joy. "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Now there's a lot of things that we can see mirrored in the way that we're all to be doing and things that we need to be accomplishing as we run through the course that the Lord has laid out, but He does have a very specific plan for each and every one of us. But according to that plan, it's going to fall under the guidelines that He sets forth in the truth of His Word. And as we study down through these next three verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 3 through 5, we're going to see a secure commitment that He has given us so that we can run that course. A sincere confidence that we should have if we're doing it according to His Word, and a sure compass to guide us to the finish line that He knows we all should attain to, that He's hoping that each and every one of us will attain to. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get straight into the message and see what it is the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us today. Lord, I want to thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You for the examples that we see throughout the Word of God and how they challenge us. They show us what we need to be doing with our lives. But Lord, I thank You for the complete direction that You've given us in Your Word so that this life, the course that You've set before us, can be run according to Your will. Lord, give us the humility to do so. Help us to see from what we're going to see in these verses today how to do so. Lord, I pray that not just the time that we have here and together in the preaching of Your Word would please You and would glorify You, but each and every one of our lives as we go through this week and the application of the truth to our lives would also please You and glorify You. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting off in verse 3, we understand from the previous two verses that Paul was requesting prayer, specifically that the Word of the Lord would have free course was the first thing that we saw, that it would have a beginning, middle, and end, also be glorified, and that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That leads into the contrast as he begins verse 3 when he says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The guarantee here that he gives us, the Lord is faithful. This is something that we have from the very beginning of the race. When we start out our course, we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We have the guarantee that God is going to be faithful. We accept salvation as it lays out in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved based on the certainty of that promise. God is faithful to fulfill that promise. He is the author and finisher not only of the faith of everyone from any dispensation, but definitely of ours as well. He has laid out the course of your life. He knew the moment that you were going to accept Jesus Christ as personal and Savior. And from that moment, as it says in Ephesians 1:13, He sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise, guaranteeing the fact that you're going to have salvation. So as I said, it's not really a question of whether or not you're going to complete the course. The question is, will you complete it with joy? Will you complete it as God is intending for you to do? Will you complete it in a way that is not only going to bring glory to His name, but will bring rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? He gives us some more promises in this very first verse as well. He says that God is faithful who shall establish you. And this is something that we've been studying as we've been going down through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you look back at 1 Thessalonians, just one example of this in chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, to the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. This is something that the Lord wants to do. He will do if you allow Him to. He is faithful. Are you? That is always the question. God's faithfulness is never in doubt. God will establish you. He will perform this in your life if you are willing to allow Him to do that. This commitment that He has given to us is like a guarantee for us who are running this race, who are in this course, who know that God is by our side and He will not allow us to be taken out of the course if we choose not to do so. If we choose to leave the course, yeah, He's going to let us have that free will. But He's going to keep us established as long as we are following His plan. Paul says very specifically over in Romans chapter 16 about being established in verse 25. He says, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, God kept it secret. God knew from the moment He said, let there be light. The plan of salvation that He had laid out because of what Jesus Christ was going to do for us on the cross, He knew because of His omnipotence and His foreknowledge exactly who you was going to be saved. He knew the day you were going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And then at that, He had a plan laid out exactly what He wanted to accomplish you. And He's of the power to establish you, to strengthen you, to get you grounded so that you can run that race. He not only says and gives you that guarantee, but He also says in this verse that we're looking at in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3 that He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. Keep you safe, keep you protected. As it says, if you look back in the verse, He says He will keep you from evil, the attacks of the enemy. This is God's commitment to you. This is what God is going to do, a guarantee. Now, if you leave His protection and you leave the course, you may be walking into evil. You may be choosing to suffer the consequences of that yourself. But God has given you a guarantee. You know what? You stay on course, He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. And even the very fact that we have the salvation, we can't lose that, is a guarantee that He is going to keep you. If you look with me over at 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 12, we sang this a few moments ago. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul here refers to his salvation. He knows that God is going to keep him. He has made that commitment. But it's not just the guarantee that he received at the moment of his salvation. It was through his whole course, the course of Paul's life, God was keeping him from evil. Does that mean that Paul wasn't suffering? No, that's not what that means. Paul was definitely suffering, which is necessary in order to reign with him, as we know. But he was keeping him from evil. He was keeping the enemy from taking him off course. Now, Paul, just like every other believer, could have chosen, no, I'm going to leave the course. I'm going to go off course, and I'm going to do my own thing. God would have allowed him to do that. But you know what? Paul chose to stay on course. And because he continued on course, God not only kept his salvation, but he kept him from evil. He kept him from the attacks of the enemy, pulling him off course, destroying the work that he was trying to accomplish in his life, serving the Lord and ministering the truth of his word. In this very same 2 Timothy, you go and see that testimony of God keeping him. At the very end of the book, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now watch what he says. "And the Lord shall deliver me out of from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Lord not only kept his salvation, because the Lord is faithful to do so, he also kept him from every evil work. That did not mean that Paul did not suffer. He did. But he was kept from the attacks of the enemy, destroying what God was trying to do through him. Why? Because Paul stayed on course. Paul stayed on course, so the Lord was able to show his faithfulness to Paul every step of the way. Going through his whole life, after the moment of salvation, he was on course with what the plan of God had for his life, and therefore, God was faithful to keep him from those attacks. This is an incredible claim that Paul says here. You know what? He kept him, the Lord, he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Paul knows this because Paul knows that God is faithful. Paul has seen that God has been faithful every step of the way. And this is the ultimate conclusion and the one of this part of the message in the first verse that we're studying. God is faithful. He will do his part. A lot of times we're praying for things. We've been praying for the Vasquez family for so long. And it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to get to the point where you're just not knowing what God is doing. But you know, the one simple fact you have to start with is the one simple fact that you believed at the moment of salvation. God is faithful. God will do his part. I wrote to Marcos this week prior to him writing back again. And you know, it's hard even in that moment and all that they've gone through and the attacks which have continued against them, even in Mexico. And one thing I said, that God will show himself mighty for the Vasquez family. I know this because God is faithful. And even though you may be going through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you may be suffering incredible trials in your life, one thing you have to remember, God is faithful. He will strengthen you. He will stand by you. He will keep you from the attacks of the enemy, which destroy what God is trying to do through you, if you stay on course. We're going to talk about how to do that in a minute, but this is the first thing you have to understand. God himself is faithful. From the beginning to the end, you can see this back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. In these three famous verses here, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." That means if you died with him the moment you got saved, you're going to live with him. There's your eternal security. There's a guarantee that you cannot lose your salvation. This is a faithful saying. You died, anybody who accepted Jesus Christ died with him. You died with him on the cross, and therefore, you're going to live with him. There's no other condition laid out for that. Then he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, there's a second possibility, a second opportunity to reign with him if you suffer. The flip side of that coin is if we deny him, he also will deny us. Not salvation, that's already been established. In the context of this verse, he's talking about reigning with him. You don't suffer with him because you denied him, guess what? You won't reign with him. He will deny you that opportunity. But it goes back to God's faithfulness again in verse 13. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth. Thank you, Michael. I'm glad you're following along. We'll try it again for everybody. If we believe not, yet he abideth. Faithful. He is faithful. It's a faithful saying laid out for us, and God will be faithful. He cannot deny himself. If everything burns at the judgment seat of Christ, what remains? The foundation, which is who? Jesus Christ. He cannot deny himself. Everything else burns. He can't deny the fact that, hey, there's that foundation. God is faithful. You begin and you end with that fact and trust in that very fact as well. If you look with me back over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, talking about him establishing us, preparing us for the finish of the race. In verses 23 and 24, we saw this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God is faithful. You knew that at the beginning of the course. You knew that the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior. You have to remember that every step of the way. No matter what you're going through, no matter what part of the course you're on, as you're on course, following God's will, you can be guaranteed of this one fact. God is faithful. Come back over with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll look at the next verse. Because not only do we have this secure commitment, which helps us to run our course, we also have the possibility of a sincere confidence. Paul is about to display an incredibly sincere and genuine confidence in what's going on with these believers. He says in verse 4, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." Paul knew for a fact they were going to follow the commandments which were laid out for them. They were going to follow the rules. As you run this course that God has set out for you, there are rules. There are commands that you have to follow. If somebody is running in a race, and one of the rules is that you have to wear a certain type of clothing, well, you can still run the race. But if you violate the rules and finish in first, but you violated the rules, guess what? You're not going to be rewarded. You may finish the race, but you won't be rewarded if you violate the rules. If you're running along and you decide, you know what? I don't think I can beat this guy, so I think I'll just kind of kick his legs out from under him. Well, that's breaking the rules. And if an official sees it, guess what? You're not going to be granted the prize. If you look with me over in 2 Timothy again, chapter 2, in verse 5, it says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." That means if you're running in a race, you're not going to get the prize if you don't follow the rules. Clean, clear, and simple. Well, guess what, Christian? You're running in a race. The course that God has laid out for you. And if you choose not to follow the rules, guess what? You won't be crowned. Well, we all want to receive the crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. So what do you have to do? You have to follow the rules. Well, look at what this testimony says. Back over here in 2 Thessalonians again, Paul says with confidence in the Lord touching him, he says that ye both do and will do. You both do and will do. Why? Because they're in obedience. But you know what? A runner who is not in obedience, a runner who chooses not to strive lawfully according to the truth of the Word of God, I'm not talking about the Old Testament law, I'm talking about the rules that are laid out for him in his course. If he chooses not to do so, then guess what? He will not be crowned. These were, but there are many wayward runners, many Christians who are running their course, and they don't even have a clue as to what their course is. Can you imagine? I mean, my wife has been running different courses. She ran a half marathon. She's planning on preparing to run a full marathon next year. And can you imagine if it was like, okay, she gets on race day and they say, well, forget the course which has been laid out because there's been an accident over here, an accident over there, but you guys are just going to have to do the best you can. We'll just trust you that you're going to run a full, 26.2 miles. We believe you. Yeah, I mean, you just run out and you just come back and then we'll trust that you get. No, you know what? There's a course that is laid out very directly, exactly. And there's a lot of Christians today who are running around as if there's no course. is if there's no exact thing that the Lord wants to accomplish with their lives and what he expects of them. They're wayward runners. Why? The testimony of these people here is that they do and will do the things that are commanded them. They're in obedience. This gets real simple. You have a commitment from God. He will be faithful to you. What do you need to do on your part? Obey. It's just that simple. How do I stay on course? Obey. You stay on the course that God has laid out for you if you obey the Word of God. You submit to the truth which has been committed to you. Look what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? They were running well. That means what? They were in obedience. But all of a sudden, somebody pulled them off course. They stopped obeying. And therefore, guess what? They're not running well anymore. They stopped running well because they stopped obeying. It's just that simple. If you look with me over in 2 Thessalonians again, where we're studying, Paul talks about this later on, the importance of obedience and noting those who are not in obedience. Same chapter that we're studying, down in verse 6, we'll study these in more detail. Starting next week, he says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. You see, here's somebody who's walking disorderly. Doesn't mean that they're drunk. It means that they're walking not according to the truth which was committed to them. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought we were running a race. Well, one video we saw of this insane race where they run five marathons back to back in the desert. It's called Badwater. One of the guys who finished the race on time, because he had hurt his knee, the only thing he did was walk. But he walked so fast, he was able to finish under the required time. So as even Becca is studying out, you know, hey, walking and running together in a race sometimes even helps you finish beforehand. So it's not about, many times a Christian faith is described as a walk, things that we're supposed to do. Well, walking in the race is okay. You know what? The important thing is that you're on course. That you're on course. That you're not getting off course. And that's exactly what Paul is noting. Hey, take note of those who are walking disorderly. They're getting off course. He says in verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. You know what? If somebody's getting off course, they're not in obedience to the truth of the word, you need to take note. Take note. Why? Because if you continue to have company and fellowship with them, what's going to happen? You're going to get pulled off course. It's just that simple. You have to stay on course. Hey, you want to help other people stay on course as well. But if somebody goes off course, you don't go off course because they're off course. Your responsibility is to stay off course. You don't get in disobedience to pull somebody back into obedience. You stay on course. You continue to obey the truth of the Word of God. That's where the confidence comes from. I mean, right here, Paul is talking to them, and he says, you know what? We have confidence in you that you're going to obey. You are obeying, and you will continue to obey. Why does Paul know that? How does he have this confidence? Because of the testimony that these people have. From verse 1, which we looked at last week, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. They're lifting up the word of God. They're glorifying the word of God. Therefore, Paul has confidence because of the fact that they're lifting up the word of God as their final authority. He knows that they're going to be in obedience. I mean, again, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This is the testimony that the Thessalonians have. This is why Paul has this sincere confidence that they're going to stay on course. They're going to continue to run well. Why? Because they're submitting to the Word of God as their final authority. Therefore, they have this confidence. Listen, obedience to the Word is what gives you confidence. You ever doubted your salvation? You ever wondered if it was real? You ever wondered and tried to think back to the moment that you got saved? Was it genuine? Was it truly from my heart? Do you know when you're doubting that salvation, if it truly was real at the moment that you got saved, when you're doubting it, it's because of the fact that, guess what? The devil is using something in your life to point out that, guess what? You know what? Something's not lining up. You've lost confidence because you're in disobedience. When you're in obedience to the truth of the Word of God, you have confidence that you're on course. How do I know that I'm where God wants me to be? Because I'm in submission to the truth of His Word. If you leave the Word of God, if you stop obeying the Word of God, you will not have confidence. You will not know if you're where God wants you to be, if you're doing what God wants you to be doing. You'll all of a sudden be lost. Okay, well, I want to keep running, but I don't know if I'm running in the exact opposite direction that God wants me to or not. I have no clue where I'm going. Why? Because I'm not following the rules. You submit to the rules, it gives you confidence. Obedience to truth, submission to the Word of God as the final authority is the only thing that will give you that confidence. There's an incredible example that we see in Matthew chapter 8 of a centurion who displays an incredible amount of confidence, so much so that the Lord said he couldn't find this kind of faith anywhere in Israel. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a certain centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." It's an amazing thing when you read in the Word of God that God marvels at somebody. He marveled at this man's faith. Why? Because he had a complete understanding of exactly what God's authority was. Why? Because he was under authority. He says, I'm under authority, and I have people under my authority. And when I tell somebody to do something, guess what? They do it. I know what obedience is. And I know that what the power that you have, you don't have to come to my house. You just say the word. And your word is powerful enough, and I know that that this sickness is going to have to obey you because you're God. He's displayed that level of confidence in what was going to happen. Why? Because he understood obedience. When we come into obedience to the Word of God, we can have confidence that we are on course. There's one more thing that we need to see in this verse, back over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4. Because Paul says very specifically, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." The things which we command you. There's a lot of commands in the Word of God. There are a lot of commands in the Word of God. You know what? To run the right course, you better know which rules apply to you. You don't go to a race halfway around the world and bring with you your book from the one race that you ran in Albuquerque and say, well, you know, I think this race should apply. These rules that I ran this race in Albuquerque, they should apply to this race I'm running in China. The Chinese officials will not take the rules that you have. They may have very well applied. They may have been exactly the rules that you should have applied to that race. But if they have rules that are different for their race, guess what? If you want to run that race, you're going to have to follow their rules. Well, in the race that God has laid out, you better know which rules you need to follow. Paul said he had confidence in them because they were going to be in obedience to the things which they were commanded directly from Paul. You need to know exactly what are the rules, what are the commands which apply to you. This is rightly dividing the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. Over here, just a couple pages over, again, we've spent a lot of time in 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way not to be ashamed, to finish the race with joy, is to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? So you can know which rules apply to you. Which rules apply to this race. Back over in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, right after Paul talks about, I know and have confidence in God's faithfulness. He's going to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. In verses 13 and 14, then he says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now God is faithful. Again, like I said, the question is, are you? And the things which he heard of Paul directly, the things which he heard, the sound words, that sound doctrine which was passed on, those are the rules that Timothy has to apply. Those are the rules that you and I have to apply. We have to keep them. Keep following those commandments. Keep following those rules as we go through the course that God has laid out for our life. Now come back over to 2 Thessalonians, because this is the last thing we need to see. God gave us a secure commitment from the very beginning. He's going to be faithful. We can have sincere confidence that we are on course as long as we're in obedience to His Word. And the final thing is that we have a sure compass, a direction which brings us right straight to the finish line that God desires. It says in verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord direct your hearts into this. You know what? There's a finish line. The final line that we cross happens at the end of our life or at the rapture of the church. When we stand before Him, that's when the course is done. That's when the course is completed. And then we find out, guess what? How did you finish your course? How did you finish your course? And it's not in comparison. Well, I finished ahead of Ted, but I was way behind Matthew. You know, it's not about that. It's about, hey, God's going to hold up the rule book and say, hey, did you follow the rules? Were you aiming toward the finish line that I was directing you to? Is this the course that you were running? Were you running according to these rules? Because that's how I'm going to be judged through this course. And as I go toward the end that God is directing me for, I have to remember that, you know what, there's a reward at the end of this course. We're not just running to run. You know, we tease John because, you know, he has this you know, when he runs, I mean, it's to win. You know, there's a very biblical application of that. You know why? Because that's how we should be running as Christians. You know, if my foot ever heals and I ever get the chance to run a race, there ain't no prayer I'm going to win. But you know what? I'll run this temporal race, and I'll be happy to finish just to finish. But there's a difference in my spiritual race. I'm not running just to finish. Paul said again, the verse we started out, you know what? He wants to finish this course with joy. It's not just about finishing the course. You're running this course for a prize. You're running this course for a prize. And it's not in competition against other believers. Because you know what? Anybody who finishes the course following the rules and coming to the finish line that God has directed us to, guess what? You can win the prize. The prize, as he says in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, is the goal which drives us. It's the finish line. In Philippians 3:14 it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In this course, there is no second place. There is no second place. There's no prize if you come in second. And again, it's not second to another believer. It's, did you obey or did you not? Were you faithful or were you not? Did you follow the rules or did you not? When you get to the finish line, there's a prize for those who did it lawfully, according to the truth of God's word. Not Old Testament law, but according to the commandments which you have been given. Rightly dividing the word, understanding what is committed to you. Look what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Is Paul telling them they need to go out and run a marathon? I'm sure that's my wife's personal application of this verse. But for us, spiritually, doctrinally speaking, he's telling you this is a command. This is not a suggestion. He says, so run that you may obtain. Many Christians are running their life as if, hey, you know what? I'm running, so God must be pleased. Doesn't really matter if I'm way off course or not. No, it does matter. Are you in obedience to the word? Well, okay, so I'm in obedience to the word, but I don't really care about getting to the line first. I don't really care about this prize that the word of God talks about. You know what? One obtaineth the prize. And you run, you have been commanded to run to obtain the prize. It's not about you being greedy. It's not about you wanting glory for yourself. It's about obeying what God has told you to do. You are to run to obtain the prize. That is your command. He continues on. He says, every man that striveth for masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And then watch Paul's personal testimony. I, therefore, so run. Paul's saying, you know what? I'm running to obtain the prize. I'm going for the goal. The goal is the gold. And there's nothing for second place. You know what? One obtaineth the prize, Paul says. You run for second place and hey, you know what? That's just not good enough. Not at the judgment seat of Christ. One obtaineth the prize. You have got to run to win. Not in comparison to other believers, but stretching, pushing, pressing toward that mark. Paul says, continue on, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, Paul's saying, you know what? Even though I've ministered to others and given them the truth, I know that God is going to judge me personally, and I've got to keep pushing toward that prize because I know my heart, and I know it might pull me aside. There's two simple things about, you know, again, running this race. You understand that God, first off, is faithful. He's going to help keep you. He's going to keep you on the course as long as you choose to stay on the course. You stay on that course by obeying His word and pressing toward the mark. You have a finish line. You have a goal that you're striving for. You lose sight of that goal, and you're going to get off course. If you forget where you're running, even if you have a desire to obey the Word of God, you forget the goal that you're going for, you're going to slow down. You're going to stop striving. You're going to stop running like you were running before. And pretty soon you're going to be in disobedience. You've got to keep going toward that mark because your heart is deceitfully wicked. Look at, again, back in the passage that we're studying, it says in verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts. Listen, the verse that I quoted ever so skillfully at the beginning, Romans 10:9, said that, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart. From the beginning of the race, your heart submitted itself to Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? I know that I have to believe completely, accept the truth of the gospel. And then somewhere along the way, the hearts of Christians become disbelieving. They stop believing the truth of the Word of God. They start becoming deceived. This is the famous verse that we just read through in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all, is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is not just applicable to lost people. You still have a heart of flesh. Your heart will still deceive you. Now, God wants to direct you as a compass, as a sure compass, right to the finish line that He desires. But your heart gets wayward. Your heart stops believing. Your heart stops following the same surety that you got the moment you were saved. Look what it says over in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Your heart will take you off course because your heart will lead you to focus on things that are temporal. It will take it off of the eternal prize at the finish line. The important thing about this sure compass, and understand this, and why so many Christians' hearts have deceived them into stop following that one sure prize. When you got saved, you believed in the surety that without a doubt, God is not the author of confusion and lays out a clean, clear message for your salvation. What makes you think that God isn't just as clean and clearly going to lay out the finish line He wants you to cross? He's going to direct you directly to the finish line. Not lead you, okay, you got saved with the guarantee, but then have all these ultimate, all these different ways that I could run. I'm not sure which way God really wants because it's not really clear in His Word. That's not who God is. That's if He was that way, you couldn't have the surety of the facts of salvation that you accepted when you got saved. He lists one clean starting point, salvation according to the truth of His Word, and one clean finish. Prize that you're shooting for, the eternal reward. That is your goal. That is where you need to be striving. God directs you into His love. If you look with me again in the passage, He says, "The Lord directeth your hearts," where? "Into the love of God." Well, wait a minute. I thought I was already in the love of God. I thought I already had the love of God because He saved me. Well, He did. And you are loved. But He wants to direct you into a love that goes beyond anything that anybody else in any other dispensation can experience. You look at Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So there's your start. You were rooted, you were grounded in love, but that's not the end. He says, "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." You know what? You are grounded in His love. You can't lose that. You have that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and you have that surety. But you know what? He wants to direct you into His love. It goes so far beyond you can't even fathom it. He says, again here, it passeth knowledge. It is something that the human mind could not even completely grasp, what God is waiting to give us and what He's directing us into at that finish line. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Following that finish line, looking at that place where God is directing us into His love. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." A heart which isn't deceived. A heart which hasn't pulled them away. A heart which is following God's direction into His love, His charity. That personal, intimate relationship. The one that He wants to have with you for all of eternity that no one else in any other dispensation can even have the possibility of obtaining. He's giving you that chance. That is the mark, and you've been commanded to run to win that prize. You need to remember and keep that focus in your heart. Don't let your heart deceive you. Don't let it pull your focus off of that finish line so that you start wandering off course and stop obeying the truth of the Word of God. Because the ultimate prize is Christ Himself. Again, back over in the passage that we're studying, It says, the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Patiently. Why? Because it doesn't matter how long the race is, how long this life lasts. You're patiently waiting for Christ. That is your goal. It doesn't change. However long this course is, that doesn't change. It is your focal point. It is your finish line. That is the one thing you can never, ever lose sight of. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, defining the prize that he says he's pressing toward in verse 17 and verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them as dung, that I may win Christ. He's the prize. He's the goal. That's what I'm not going to lose sight of that, Paul says in his testimony. It needs to be ours as well. This life is not so complicated. It is not so difficult to be a Christian nowadays. It's not more complicated or harder for us in this day and age than it was 2,000 years ago to live the life of a Christian to please God. You say, well, look at the temptations that are out there today. Look at how materialism has destroyed people's lives. You know what? There's always going to be one thing or another that the devil's going to be able to use to attack people with. The bottom line for you is, am I going to run this race with simplicity? The simplicity that is in Christ. I have confidence of the faithfulness of God. If I would just keep myself in obedience to His Word, following after the prize, I will finish my course with joy. It's not just finishing the race. Hey, the moment that you got saved, guess what? You are guaranteed a finishing spot. Question is, are you going to finish with joy? Are you out walking in the fields, doing things, focusing on this world, letting your heart deceive you and pulling you away from the one thing that you've been told to run for, to focus on, and to not forget? Paul said that was his life's desire, and the awesome thing that we have in his example is that that's how he completed it. If you look with me back over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he gives this testimony. At the end of his life, in verse 7 and 8, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also, all them also that love his appearing. Where is the Lord going to direct you? As we saw in the verses that we're studying, into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. You know what? If you're loving His appearing, you're going to be crowned. Because as you love His appearing, you're going to be in obedience. Nobody and no time have you ever been in disobedience to the Word of God, and you can say, you know what? As I'm here in sin, I'm focusing on Christ. That doesn't happen. If you stay focused on Christ, that will keep you in submission to the truth of His Word. If you stay focused on the prize that God is offering you at the finish line of the course of your Christian life, God will be faithful to keep you from the attacks of the enemy to pull you off course. You can choose at any moment to stop following that goal. You can choose at any moment to stop submitting to the truth of His Word, to wander off course and live your life how you want to, but there will be justice at the finish line. You want to finish your course with joy? Then run your life. Run your course, Christian, according to His Word, following the prize of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You for the examples that we see all the way through it and for the example that Paul laid out. Lord, I pray that we would be able to run our course from beginning to end, not wandering off track, not losing our way, but following that sure compass right straight to the finish line, focusing on that one focal point of Jesus Christ. Just as Paul said, you know, being willing to suffer the loss of all things, be able to win Christ. Lord, in that path, Keep us in submission to the truth of your word. Give us that confidence of knowing that we're on course because we are living our lives with your word as our final authority. Lord, and I thank you for the guarantee that you are faithful, that you will be beside us every step of the way, that you will protect us from the attacks of the enemy which want to derail us, which want to take us off course. Lord, keep us in submission to you. Help us to remember the incredible prize that waits for us, that we never lose sight and never stop focusing on this life and wander off course. Make us faithful runners, Lord, of the course that you've laid out before us. I pray that this very week we would not let our hearts deceive us by focusing on this life. We would not give control to the flesh and stop submitting to the truth of your word and wander off course. Help us to live our lives this very week, Lord, remembering that we're in this race, and we're in this race to win. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.